Right now, we're going to talk about the New York Jets. I can't believe it. Football is here, BT. Tonight,
I'm
week
so
one. Me too. NFL, you got the Cowboys and Eagles tonight. Obviously, Jets on Sunday taking on the Steelers. To help us break down that game, we welcome in right now the color analyst for Jets Radio and former Jet tight end, Anthony Becht. Anthony, how are you ahead of this week one game?
Awesome, brother. BT South, great to be on, man.
Yeah, and look, we obviously know the big news with the Jets. Unfortunately, a negative thing before we even get started. So let's start there with Tucker, who officially, you know, we talked about it yesterday, BT, he's obviously officially out for the year, going to have that surgery, triceps torn there. How big of a blow, Ant, is this for the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's voted a captain. You know, I think this is kind of a recurring theme with him, unfortunately, is these injuries that randomly come up for him. And it's unfortunate, you know, wherever it happened, individual drill or whatever, it's not great. I will say this, though. I mean, when you look at what they have, they did go get Josh Myers, who I think they got as an extremely discounted player for a guy that started for the last 3-4 years in Minnesota. And you can slide Pittman over. They want to use Newman. He's got a little bit of experience. Obviously, I'm almost assuming that Pittman's going to slide over. But is it drastic? Is it terrible? It does kill your depth a little bit, obviously, because you got to move guys around. But, yeah, he's a key component, a key player. But I don't think there's a massive drop-off with another guy, especially when you have a quarterback like that's as mobile as Fields is. It does help guys play a little bit better and takes away from what that one-on-one block looks like throughout the season.
All right, so I wanted to give you a chance to hit the AVT stuff. I want to take a step back, though, Anthony. I want to take you to the year that you were drafted. Jets had 4 first-round picks. We all know who they were. And you come in, and the Jets are already a good team. Now, the year before you came, 99, Vinny blows out his Achilles, obviously. Yeah. 98, 2 years before that, they're knocking on the door to the Super Bowl. So you show up, and the culture's there. And you know when there's a good culture, and you know when there's not. So how effective so far, early stages, is Aaron Glenn in creating a culture? Because last year's culture with Saleh and Gase and all that was just awful. Where are we with the culture?
Well, I mean, you can even extend that probably, you know, over a few coaches prior to that. I would say that, I mean, there's no question in my mind, absolutely, and being with Aaron and where he's been and what he's done and who he's played for, that culture 1,000% will flip. The caveat to that is building the winning culture, right, which you were talking about with the success in 98, 99, and some of those other years that we had through the early 2000s. You know, I just think for me that that's where, okay, how does that all translate? And that ultimately trickles down to the people around him. It's the coordinators. It's the players that are brought in. It's the quarterback that you throw out there and how that comes together and how you can stick to what you see in your mind as your game plan to help this team flip from a, you know, mediocre losing kind of situation to now, okay, now we got a belief that we can win. We can win 1, 2, 3 games in a row. That's where you start seeing the cultural change on the winning side. The other side, the discipline, the belief, all that stuff will flip. But guys, you guys know as well as anybody, you got to win football games. Like as a head coach for me, I knew like, okay, I got a standard that I'm going to set that it's got to be every single day. But if I don't win as a coach, it don't matter about that stuff. And we've been able to do that. For AG, it's the same thing. How does it translate into W's? And we'll find out this weekend. There's a lot of, you know, new components, new pieces, new coaching staff. And again, it's got to trickle down and you got to have the right components around them. And we'll see what that looks like on Sunday.
And we'll see when the wins start coming here. And that's obviously what really matters here. But what I think drove all of us nuts, Anthony, is that, you know, and not to just bag on Saleh, he's a good guy, but he just didn't get it done. And not even going back to Gase, but Saleh in particular, he wasn't honest to me. Like, I'm watching these press conferences, never held anybody accountable, and it drove us nuts because we know better because we're New York sports fans. And to me, the one thing, one of the many things that I think AG's going to be very different with is he's going to publicly, I don't mean embarrass players, but hold them accountable. Does this team have enough dogs for him to be raw and for it not to impact the team? Because he's going to be raw and he's going to be honest.
He is, BT, but it's a very slippery slope when, again, what's actually said to you, the media and the folks out there versus, okay, what's being said behind closed doors. I'm not going to sit here and say Saleh wasn't like that. I'm sure behind closed doors he did hold guys accountable. It just didn't work out. But for AG, he's going to – look, if we're out there, no one's going to be if the quarterback or receiver or lineman's not playing well, and we all see that, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know the game of football, but if a guy's getting his ass whipped, you know, it's going to be clear as day. He's going to say, hey, yeah, he's got to play better. He's going to believe in what he does. They're going to trust the process and what they're doing. So, yeah, there's a way to hold guys accountable without kind of brutally putting it out there. But I think, yeah, I think the guys respect him. I think the one thing that separates a lot of coaches sometimes, especially with AJ, is there's a lot of street cred because he's been there. He's done it. He's done it at the highest level. Like, that resonates with players. It resonates with my players. Like, these things trickle down. But, again, you got to have ownership. You got to be up front. These guys want the truth. You know, whether it's out in public, maybe so in some certain ways, but behind closed doors, 100%. And I think that's what they'll respect him for. And again, that's part of that process and standard and that culture that's going to change, right, that you're talking about, that will help these players and hopefully, you know, what they're trying to build here for this season and years to come.
Well, don't you think the biggest aspect of that, and we're talking about Anthony Becht, the color analyst for Jets Radio, of course, former Jet tight end, don't you think the biggest aspect of that would be the discipline as far as the lack of penalty? And we'll see that. Now, I want to ask you, how soon is it to expect that we see that? Glenn talked about it. We got to button things up. We can't be beating ourselves. No penalties. We didn't see that in the preseason games. How soon can we expect to see that type of discipline, buttoned up play from the Jets?
Yeah, I think that can happen instantaneously, guys. I mean, you know, the way they practice, the message he sends, not allowing it to you know, happen in practice, you know, what that, when it does happen in practice, does he pull the guy? Does somebody else come in? Like, you got to set those standards throughout the practice. And I've heard it. I've heard the voice, the mic'd ups and the things that tempo, discipline, bring it back. Like, those things, when you got to do that you got to do it all the time, and you cannot let it slip. And it started day one with him. And I think that's the one thing that's been great, is that's going to be what it's going to be. And it has to translate that. And if it doesn't, then they're going to get somebody else in there to do it. So I do believe that that's something that can, as far as penalties are concerned, can be a flip very quickly. So again, he lives and breathes it every single day. The players know that. And he's going to hold them accountable. I mean, we saw a little bit in preseason. Guy hits a quarterback late, pulls him out of the game, jumps up. Like, that's how you get them to figure it out. And if they don't, you got to find somebody else to do it.
All right, so you're the former pro, and you're coaching as well. So if they don't do that week one, I don't want to hear any nonsense about, oh, no, it's going to happen. That's something that you said as a former player. Well, no, I'm just saying, not that we're going to say that.
You're at BT. You got to be honest. Like, everybody's going to have penalties, like, week one. Like, it's going to be a changing thing.
Well, I'm going to call a foul on you right now. It's Sal, not BT, but that's okay.
Did you see it? I said instantaneously being this season, right? So, yeah, it has to change. If it doesn't, they are going to be where they're at. And AG said that. They're not going to be very good. They're not going to win any games if they continue to do that. So it's something of a point of emphasis, and it should improve because he makes it a point every single day that he's with them.
It's the most maddening aspect of all the losses. I mean, that's the bottom line. You win or you lose, but the penalties, it's been ridiculous. So
terrible. Anthony, there's no doubt. He can't stand for it, and that's what he's doing.
Can't have it. All right, so we all know Sauce and Brees and Garrett and Q and Quincy. We know the names, right? Give us a name or two, a new guy on the team that you think is going to really show up starting Sunday. We're going to hear his name. We're going to see him make plays, offense or defense. Anybody jump out?
Yeah, I think, you know, on offense, man, and I hate going with rookies, but his temperament is different. You know, I have a son that plays. He was taught differently from me. Mason Taylor had a dad that played at a high level, Hall of Fame level. He just looks different to me. He's more mature. He's been in stadiums where they've had 100,000 people. Like, this isn't going to be very big for him. That transition and what they can utilize, and the fact that, okay, we're waiting to see who this other receiver is going to be. He's got a unique opportunity to really make a big statement as a rookie in the tight end position. And quite frankly, as you look at the history of the tight end, it's been kind of, you know, it's been suspect.
It's been awful.
I mean, we can all sit there. Yeah, it's been bad, you know. So I think a guy like Mason, to me, he's just built a little different than maybe the last, you know, decade of guys that have come through. And I'm really interested to see what that looks like. And to me, I always tell people this example of, like, how do you make tight end successful? I go back to when Parcells and those guys drafted Jason Witten. Jason Witten was not a high draft pick. He was not a very fast tight end. They force fed him the ball. And from there, he just became a great talent. You got to get this guy the ball. You got to have stuff in your playbook and say, look, he is a featured guy on this play or that play. And you got to give him that confidence. Confidence early in anybody's career, especially a rookie, is going to sky's the limit. So that's one guy. On defense, you know, I really like the secondary guys, the Ads, the Stevens, the Cisco. You know, Cisco's a you know, been a traditionally box guy, very physical, very tough, but he is a ball hawk guy. He does get a little aggressive. He may get in a bad spot, but man, he does get around the football. He goes and attacks. And again, Stevens is a guy that really has shown up throughout the entire camp, and he looks to be the guy. That's a really nice combination, guys, when you got a secondary and then you add Harrison now with the run stopping, which we haven't seen, that extra piece. That's going to, I think, lift the defense up a little bit more to help them really be better than what they've been in the past.
Yeah, by the way, I thought you might say Mason Taylor. I know he's got some wiggle. Can he block? Because Jets going to run the ball probably 30 times a week.
I'll say this. There's no tight ends coming out of college that can block effectively. He's just got to get in the way and do it right. I think he wants to do it. It's an attitude.
Okay.
You don't just come out of college and block anymore. Those days are over. Like that doesn't happen. You got to have a mindset. It's an attitude. And I just think for him, he gets it. He's been blocking guys in the SEC. Like, if I'm going to pick any defensive ends and people for him to block, those are the guys I want him to come from. But I just think it means it matters to him. He's going to have his ups and downs there. I'm not going to sit here and I will not co-sign anybody coming out of college that can be a really good blocker, but he'll push himself. He'll get good at it, and they won't put him in those positions where he's going to kind of fall out. But this week, I'll be honest, he's going to be part of whatever that chip game. I mean, you can't let Watt and Membu be on one-on-one the entire game. It's a great matchup. Watt's obviously got a clear advantage, but you got to have another piece there, and he's probably going to be part of that as well.
For years, Anthony, the Jets' defense has been overrated. We expect them to be a team that's going to run the football quite a bit. I don't know how much AVT is going to change that. What do you think will be the identity of this Jets team?
They are going to have to be that, and everybody's going to know that. I think, you know, listen, Justin Fields, there are a lot of things that we're waiting to see. How is that development in the passing game look? How do they utilize him differently now with a full game plan? Who does he fall and get the ball to outside of just, you know, Garrett Wilson? How do the backs imply? But I will say this. He does have a skill set that's elite through the NFL, and that's his legs. And I just think between the running backs and the quarterback, that is a problem for defenses, even if you're trying to stop it. Anytime you have the extra element of the quarterback, you're one guy short on defense. I don't care who you're playing. And if you looked at last year's film with some of the Steelers who've ran teams that have just abolished them running wise. You look at like the Ravens game last year and a couple where they had those kind of quarterbacks. It wasn't pretty. So these are opportunities. That tape's being watched, but that's going to be the identity of the team. You know, you're going to look at it, you know, minimum 30 times every single game. If it's less than that, I really don't think they're going to have to win, but the quarterback's going to have to make some plays with his arm clearly for them to take those next steps. That's what we got to see. And is it going to happen week one? It could. Is it? But you got to get four games to me privately as I look at this team. That's how I'll get a full synopsis of where he is. But he has been an improved player everywhere he's been, even though he hasn't had consistency on anywhere he's been. It's now he's got the confidence. People are backing him. How does he raise his game up to take it to the next step? And can he do it now? Because that's what everybody wants to see.
And I pointed that out. You know, not everybody wants to hear it, and I want to see it because it's not like it's been massive in improvement here. But, you know, year by year, 4 years, that completion percentage gone up incrementally. You know, he's thrown, 14 or 15 more touchdowns than picks over his career. He won four games, you know, out of six before he got benched. Like, he's not a scrub. He's just not an elite thrower. He's got a very unique skill set. And if the Jets can play the way they want to play, Justin Fields will be awesome. And if not, and they're behind early, and he's got to throw it 25, 30 times a game, the Jets are going nowhere. I mean, I think that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, I think this is the key, guys. Tanner Engstrand is coming in with the Ben Johnson system. That's the system he knows and loves. That quarterback in that system was not Justin Fields. So how does he acclimate that system to make Justin Fields the most effective quarterback to have success in what they do? And that's a challenge because he's never called plays before in regular season game situations. And now he's building something around a different style of quarterback. And that's what he's probably been working on the offseason, trying to figure all that out. And what's that going to look like? I'm interested to see because clearly it's not going to be the same mentality as what Detroit was, even though they ran the ball so effectively and so much, they were so much more efficient at that position. How does that look now with Justin Fields? That'll be the biggest for me, the eye test with OC and quarterback going into this first game.
Last one for me, Anthony, and I'm surprised, I haven't heard a ton of this. For those of us old enough to have watched Aaron Glenn play, obviously a great corner, really good on special teams for a couple of years as well. And that's how you can steal a couple of wins. The penalties, you know, obviously maybe steal a touchdown or play the field position game from special teams. What is Aaron's influence on that side of the football? Or is it just all delegation to those coaches?
Nah, you know, he touches everything, man. Like, I love the fact that, I mean, listen, his back, he's very knowledgeable about all facets as a coach. I mean, obviously, when you're a defensive coordinator, you have to have a clear understanding of what offenses are trying to do. But now the people that he has, he's given them the trust. That's what you have to do. You have to entrust your coordinators and your coaches on what you do. And that's why you got to build a great staff. And we'll see in how all these coaches come together. I mean, ultimately, his job is on the line dictated on the people that he hired. So, but he touches everything in practice, man. He's on it. You see him in every aspect, and yeah, his hands will be on all that stuff, especially special teams. And I think they do have some really good players from the return game standpoint. I think everybody's still trying to figure out how to really excel in the kickoff return game. Mm-hmm. So can they get a jump on that? Wongu's been really good the last back end of the season and in preseason. So he's a guy when you put back there, he's a little bit more of a running back body. That's what you need in that. And they got a head start on that. So that's a really good player there. So, and then, you know, the kicking situation, guys, obviously, you know, in the past, obviously last year was a debacle. You know, Nick Folk coming in. I mean, again, everybody's like his age. Yeah, clearly, could he get hurt? Well, all that stuff. Anybody can get hurt, but he has been, I mean, the most accurate kicker over the last 3 years in the NFL, which is crazy to think that he was available to go get. But, hey, he's healthy. He's ready to go. And he's kicked in this area before, and he knows what it's like. I think he's going to be in a much better spot mentally than some of these other kickers. So, yeah, I think the special teams, as far as what AG's touching, it should be a bonus. It's got to be a bonus for this team. They need that at that side, that face to be a part of what they do to help them win games right now.
Did you get an interview for the Jets head coaching job, Ant?
I did not. No, I did not get an interview. Obviously, you know, really close to the organization. I had an interview with West Virginia, my alma mater. That was my one interview. And listen, I'm working on those things. My feet are on the ground now, being the best head coach in the UFL for the Battle Hawks. But I do have aspirations of taking those next steps, and we'll see what happens on that. But you know, that's where I'm at in my world. I want to be a head coach somewhere. It's college. It's, you know, weaning up to the NFL. I love it. I love helping, and we've had some success in 3 years. We've done really well in St. Louis with a heavy turnover in our roster. So it's been fun, man, and I can't wait to see it. For Jet fans, like. Yeah, I played the game. I played for the Jets, but I also coach now. So it's a really good perspective. And for those that don't listen to the radio, whether they do or don't, it's a good listen, man. I try to give everybody a sense of, and we talked about this last year when you guys were grilling me about my first year. Oh, you got to be honest. Like, I try to give you, like, real stuff, like the mentality of both sides as the player, as the coach. And it's fun. And me and Bob, I can't wait to work with him another year, man. It's been fun. It was a great year one. And ready to rock and roll Sunday, man.
I have two quickies for you about your personal career here, because you just mentioned it. How difficult is that to balance what you do with the Jets? I know it's part-time, obviously, in season, but what you do as a head coach, which I'm assuming is a little bit more work all year long, how do you balance those two?
Yeah, you know, it's actually there's a three-way balance, because what's really nice for me is my kid's a quarterback at Iowa State. Mm. I get to go to every one of his games. So I get coaching. I get to watch him. I spent 2 weeks with Iowa State and their staff in the training camp, just trying to learn and grow in that aspect. But I think it really does help me in all aspects. I have the best 365 days a year than anybody I can imagine, because I go to my kids' games. I sit in the stands like a fan, bite my nails off as a dad of a quarterback. Yeah. Then I come the next day, I jump on a plane, I go to the Jets game, and I put my football hat on. Then I go coach for the spring, and I go through the process of evaluating players and cutting players and, you know, the closed door stuff. So, man, it's a great spot to be in. I manage it well. I've always been someone that's, you know, been kind of like multiple things going on in my life. But, man, the coaching thing has got me going right now. And I kind of love bringing that aspect out in the actual calling of the games, because, you know, I think for me, like, I don't have to really be negative downer guy when you're calling football games. I kind of know how to, like, okay, like, that clearly is not what people should see or want to see, and we got to make sure we talk about that. But in a way, it just doesn't disrupt the framework. I think if anybody were hear me say something that were on a staff or anything like that, you would agree, like, yeah, he's right, you know. So I just think from that aspect, man, how you deliver it is important. And I love working for the Jets, man. I hope for success. I want them to be great. But, you know, every game for me, man, I treat it like the Super Bowl, man. I love watching and calling football games and just seeing how things go down. And I guess from my coach's mind, I just break it down a little bit more, because now the situational stuff which is important to my life now, is just something that I look at. And hope we got to be better at that too, right? That in the past has not been great. So, AG, that'll be something that's always you know, we'll see how he does it. I think he'll be really good at it. But again, it's hard to do. And he doesn't call plays, which is great. So, you know, you got that focus. I don't call plays either. So I'm constantly thinking about the next play, the next down, the score. I'm like calculating. These things are going on in my mind. We talk about this stuff ad nauseum with my staff, and we're always on a group chat. Every game, college game we watch, these primetime things, these guys just continue to blow games, coaches, on time management. And we learn from their mistakes, and we just try not to make them. And that's a head coach's job. When you don't call the plays outside of everything else and building the culture like he's doing, game day is a big day when you're not calling plays, and that's going to be a big part of winning games as well for this team.
Dude, the energy is contagious, man. We feel it, and good luck to your son. and listen, Schusen has been phenomenal forever. You've been a great addition. We love Marty, but you fit in great. So listen, looking forward to the first one with the Steelers here. I know we'll talk throughout the season. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, let me know anytime. And tell my guy Birdman, man. He's a GOAT. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah, Birdman. We will. He is the GOAT. We will definitely pass along that message.